The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. Thank you for taking the next 3 hours of your day to hang out with us and share a few laughs, talk about a lot of the big stories of the day. ToddStarnes.com is our website. The live show blog is up and running. And at this moment, President Biden is speaking to graduates at the Coast Guard Academy. And I was watching a few of the president's remarks. And, man, this guy is just, it's cringeworthy. I mean, you never know what's going to come out of the guy's mouth, and it's all about him telling the cadets to applaud him, telling them to – it's all about him today, and we're going to be getting some audio from that. Again, the speech still going on there at the Coast Guard Academy, but it's very clear to me, just on the response from the graduates, they just feel uncomfortable, that there's just something off-putting about the president's performance today. So we're going to be getting into that. Also, just a few moments ago, President Biden reached out to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and he told Israel that he expects that there will be significant de-escalation of the fight with the Hamas terrorist. So President Biden, instead of picking up the phone and calling Hamas and telling them to knock it off, he picks up the phone and he talks to Benjamin Netanyahu and tells him, I expect for you guys to de-escalate this fight by the end of the business day. Close the business today. The rockets better stop. Now, if I were Benjamin Netanyahu, I would have politely told the president exactly where to stick those rockets. And I doubt the Israelis are going to listen to anything Joey Biden has to say. The Israelis have a right to defend themselves. And you need to understand something here, folks. We're not dealing with fair arbiters in the Middle East. I mean, these are very bad people. These are people who literally want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Bad people. We're talking about individuals who would, if given the opportunity, would commit another genocide against the Jewish people. That's what we're dealing with here. And what Joe Biden should have done is got up on national television, spoken to the world audience, and explained that the United States would not only be standing alongside Israel, we would be providing them with whatever resources necessary to exterminate the terrorist threat in Gaza. That's what he should have done. But Joe Biden didn't do that because, just like the Democrat Party, they are anti-Semites. And we have it is very well documented, the anti-Semitism within the ranks of the Democrat Party. It's pretty despicable. Honest to goodness, I don't know how you, if you are Jewish, could vote for a Democrat based on the fact that they hate you and they support the terrorists who want to exterminate you. So we're going to pay very close attention to what happens. I can tell you this, that there is a lot of there's a lot of people in America that are rising up and standing out in support and in defense of the nation of Israel. And we are doing that here on our program. Tomorrow we are asking all of our listeners to take a moment, gather together, maybe with friends, loved ones. If you don't have friends or loved ones, you can gather by yourself. And you pray for the nation of Israel. They need to know, the Israelis need to know, that the American people support Israel, even though Joe Biden has turned his back on our most cherished ally, the American people still stand with Israel. So tomorrow, this radio program and our team here, we're going to be hosting a Stand with Israel rally in Memphis, Tennessee. We would love to have you attend if you are in the Mid-South area. And we have a link to that on our live show blog. It's tomorrow night, 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. And it's going to be an incredible event. I'm going to be speaking. We're going to have Steve Copeland, who is a great religious leader here in the Memphis, Tennessee area. He heads up an incredible pro-life ministry called Life Choices. We're going to be having Messianic Jewish friends speaking as well at the Hadashah Synagogue here in the Memphis area. And we're going to make a public statement. And you know, it's amazing. I've gotten these text messages, Todd, aren't you concerned? Aren't you worried? Aren't you scared? I mean, isn't there a price to pay for standing with Israel? Well, I guess so. But you know what? It's worth it. Because if you can't stand alongside of your friends, what kind of a person does that make you? Especially in a time of turmoil. And yeah, I've seen the pro Hamas people marching in the streets, even here in Memphis, Tennessee. Had a couple of hundred pro Hamas terrorists marching in the streets of Memphis. But I don't care. I do. You know what? That's on them. But that doesn't change one thing. As a matter of fact, the more you come under attack, the more aggressive we're going to be in standing alongside of you. And we're going to do that tomorrow. We would love to have you attend. And it's a free event. All you got to do is go and sign up over at our live show blog. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, I got to share this story with you. We're sort of taking a hard left turn here. Because I've got to share this story with you, and we've got a packed show. By the way, Andrew Giuliani, Rudy's son, now running for governor. He's going to be here in just a little while. Ralph Norman, one of the Republican lawmakers who was just fined by Nancy Pelosi for not wearing the face diaper, he's going to be here as well. We've got a lot of fun stuff happening later on in the program. So I've got to get to this right now, or we're not going to have time. Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who is the lesbian black mayor of Chicago. And that is very important. New listeners to this program understand that we don't play the identity card here. However, the Democrats demand that we do. So that is the only reason we tell you that Mayor Lori Lightfoot is a black lesbian woman, as far as we know. And Mayor Lightfoot getting ready to celebrate an anniversary. And she is granting interviews to the mainstream media. But she's only doing interviews with reporters who are black or brown. So if you are a Caucasian reporter, if you are of the Caucasian persuasion, you will not be granted an interview with Mayor Lesbian Lightfoot. I'm serious here. We're not making this up. The mayor's press secretary reached out to the lily white reporters, the pale face reporters, and told them, hey, look, don't waste your breath asking for an interview because Mayor Lesbian Lightfoot is only going to do interviews with people who look like her. NBC News political reporter Mary Ann Ahern. Yes, I said it. Ahern. Her name is Ahern. Marianne Ahern, the NBC reporter, broke the news on Twitter last night. And soon other reporters from around town began chiming in, other honky reporters. Chicago Tonight, WTTV correspondent Paris Schultz. I was told the same thing. Reporter Heather Cerrone, I can confirm, same thing happened. Marianne Ahern writing, as Chicago mayor reaches her two-year midway point as mayor, her spokeswoman or spokesgal says Mayor Lesbian Lightfoot is granting one-on-one interviews only to black or brown journalists. I'm sorry, Grace, my apologies. I thought the J was silent. reference. Journalist, not urinalist. All right. So here's my question here. So, I mean, is this flat-out racism or is this bigotry? I'm sort of torn here because I do not know the woman's heart. So I don't know if she just outright hates white people or if she hates journalists. Now, if she hates journalists, well, that's okay. Yeah, we all do that, okay? I think we all hate the journalist. But I don't think you can hate a journalist simply because the color of their skin. And a lot of people are very alarmed about all of this. Now, one Hispanic journalist, I think he identifies as a brown journalist. So he would be qualified because of the color of his skin. He would be qualified to query the lesbian mayor of Chicago. No, Grace, query means ask a question. It's not a slur. You're asking a question. I'm inquisitive. I want to query you about something. We try to educate people here on this program, ladies and gentlemen. So a Hispanic journalist is out there and he's saying, you know what? No, this is not right. This is absolutely not fair. If the mayor is going to allow a black journalist or an Hispanic journalist to interview the lesbian mayor of Chicago, then all journalists, no matter the color of their skin, should be allowed to interview the lesbian mayor. This is from Gregory Pratt, and this is what he wrote on Twitter. Buenos dias. No, I just added that. I am a Latino reporter at the Chicago Tribune, very liberal newspaper. I am a Latino reporter whose interview request was granted today. However, I asked the mayor's office to lift its condition on others, and when they said no, we respectfully canceled. Politicians don't get to choose who covers them. Now, I just want to say something here. I don't know what this guy's politics are. He's a journalist, so he's probably a leftist. But I respect this man, Gregory Pratt from the Chicago Tribune. He's standing up to this racist mayor. But the great concern I have is that the mayor's office is actually admitting on the record now that they are refusing to let white people, white journalists, ask a question of the mayor. Now, I want you to step back for just a moment and you imagine that Donald John Trump was, in fact, mayor of Chicago. What do you think would happen if Donald Trump said, you know what, I'm sorry, we're only going to do interviews with people of the Caucasian persuasion. So all you black journalists, yeah, you go to the back of the bus. All of you black journalists and brown journalists, you go to the balcony. You don't get to hang out with me. You don't get to ask me any questions. What do you think would happen? What do you think the mainstream media would have done had Donald Trump banned black people from asking questions at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Well, they would have burned down the Brady press room. There would have been mass hysteria. And yet the mainstream media, the drive-by media, they are giving Mayor Lesbian Lightfoot a pass here. But this is what you need to understand. This is City Hall sanctioned racism. And I will say this. All of you white journalists out there in Chicago, I know you. You're all liberal. You're all Democrats. And part of me wants to say, you get what you vote for. That all of you journalists out there, you white journalists, complaining and moaning and groaning about not getting an interview with the lesbian mayor of your city, That's a sign of your white privilege. How dare you? How dare you, white journalist, think that you could possibly ask a question of the lesbian mayor? Who do you think you are, white journalist? This is our reality in America, ladies and gentlemen. And there really are people like Lori Lightfoot out there who believe that it's perfectly okay to ban white people from doing their jobs. Now, do you think that's an anomaly, or do you think this is a symptom of a much broader problem? That's the question. All right, we've got to take a break. Late for a break already. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So I guess the question is, do you agree with the lesbian mayor of Chicago, Mayor Lesbian Lightfoot, that white reporters should not be allowed to ask her a question because she's a black woman? 844-747-8868. And just for the sake of creativity, because we have a very creative audience. Yes, I know we have the most beautiful, the most attractive audience on all of talk radio, but they're also very creative. What do you think would have happened if Donald Trump had banned black and brown reporters from asking him a question? Could you imagine? 844-747-8868. All right. I promise you we were going to bring you some audio. Joe Biden giving a cringe-worthy speech to the Coast Guard Academy, and he also mocked the Coast Guard cadet. Folks, you can't make this up. Take a listen.
I can only assume that you will enjoy educating your family about how the Coast Guard is, quote, the hard nucleus around the Navy forms in times of war. You're a really dull class. I mean, come on, man. Is the sun getting to you? I would think you'd have an opportunity when I say that about the Navy to clap, but being here together. Well, all kidding aside, being here together is a victory in and of itself.
Oh, he's kidding. Oh, so here you are. And again, it was... That's just a small snippet of what was a just massively cringeworthy address. And it's just like he's not there. And this goes back to the fact that Joe Biden, the cheese has done slid off his cracker. And I know that there are times when he appears to be okay and with it. And then there are others where something is clearly not right. But anyway, we'll work on getting you some other audio there. But the money bite is that that he called the Coast Guard Academy dull. I mean, unbelievable. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747. Oh, you know what? We're coming up on a break. So hang tight, Kelly from Hot Springs, Arkansas. You wonder how Biden is going to handle other commencement addresses to the armed forces in the coming weeks. If this is what he's going to do to the Coast Guard, and if you are a Coast Guard veteran, how do you feel about your commander in chief calling you dull? Maybe it's just possible that Joe Biden's jokes are not funny. Maybe he's just being insensitive. And Joe Biden thinks he's, Jerry Seinfeld. All right, got to take a break. Hang tight. We're going right to the phones. A few lines open this afternoon, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Wow, that Joe Biden, my goodness, he knows how to motivate a crowd, doesn't he? Getting pounded on social media, Joe Biden is, for mocking the U.S. Coast Guard. It was just an awful, awful speech. And when you have to force the crowd, and I know a little something about public speaking. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to visit with the Young Republicans here in Memphis, Tennessee, an incredible group of business owners and young professionals and great patriots, one and all. And so, again, Grace, you know something about this as well. When you are hosting a speech and you're giving a speech, you don't have the crowd with you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. You know, I mean, maybe they're looking at their watch.
Checking their Twitter
account.
They're
biting their nails. You know, they got the head down and, you know, they're into the smartphone. And that's your cue to kind of wrap things up or mm-hmm. whatever you're doing is
move
not working.
On.
Gotta move on. And clearly, Biden does not understand that. So that's how that's how bad it was over at the Coast Guard Academy today. But it was also bad yesterday. Cut number one, please.
Quick question on Israel before you drive away.
No, you can't. Not unless you get in front of the car as I step on it. I'm only teasing. Okay, here we go. You ready?
See it, sir.
You ready?
So
best test driver ever.
Let me set the stage for you here. And there was a bit more. Biden was going back and forth with the press. And then a reporter asks a question of Joe Biden. And it reminded me of that moment when Trump was making a joke about how you could. He could go out and shoot somebody in Fifth Avenue and he wouldn't lose any support. He wouldn't lose any votes, right? Remember? And it was a ha-ha thing. The mainstream media exploded. I mean, there were actually calls for criminal investigations. People within the mainstream media were actually accusing the president of making threats. Now, if Donald Trump had gone out there and threatened to run over a member of the White House press corps in this vehicle, this car, he would have been impeached for the third time before dinner. But they love Joe Biden. These reporters, and I want you to listen, there are two components to this. First of all, I want to hear the joke again, and then listen to the response from the White House press corps.
Mr. President, can I ask you a quick question on Israel before you drive
no,
away?
No, you can't. Not unless you get in front of the car as I step on it. I'm only teasing. Okay, here we go. You ready?
See it, sir.
Let's do it, sir.
Ready?
Best
test driver ever, Mr. President. You go, sir.
I mean, at some point, you're wondering, when are they just going to take off their underpants and undergarments and throw them at President Biden? This is disgusting. but this is who they are. This is the White House press corps. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So Dr. Fauci is back in the news. The furor himself, and he still can't figure out if we're supposed to wear the masks or we're not supposed to wear the mask. He just is not clear. Cut number four, please.
The problem in the issue is that we don't have any way of knowing who is vaccinated and who's not vaccinated. And I think that's where the confusion arises, because there are some establishments who are saying, well, I'm going to have people coming into my establishment, my store, or what have you. Some are going to be vaccinated and some are not. I'm not going to know the difference. Some might be infected and might actually have a risk of infecting someone else. And under those circumstances, it's perfectly reasonable and understandable for the owner of that establishment to say, you know, we're going to keep the mask mandate up. And that's what we're seeing. And I think that's causing the confusion, because some are maintaining a mask mandate and others are not.
No, the reason why people are confused is because of what's coming out of the CDC. One minute, wear the mask. Next minute, don't wear the mask. Got to wear the mask. Don't wear the mask. Got to socially distance yourself. You don't have to now. It's mind-blowing. And people, by and large, are saying, you know what? I think we've just had enough of this. We get it. Only 6% of people who actually had the China virus, and the China virus alone, they had no other condition. They had no pre-existing condition. They just had the China virus. According to the CDC numbers, their data, only 6% of the people who uniquely had the China virus died. A terrible tragedy, but death is a part of living. If the China virus doesn't get you, something else will. We are all going to die. It's going to happen. And a lot of people are finally waking up and saying, you know what? We're just ready to live our lives. There was a 10-year-old little boy down in Florida, and he's making the headlines because he addressed his school board, this 10-year-old kid. I want you to listen. This kid makes so much sense.
I just turned 10 years old, and I am a fourth grader at Felix A. Williams. I expected school to be a little bit different in the beginning, but I didn't think it would stay this way all year long, and I was surprised by the rules. A lot of them didn't make any sense to me, like the fact that we were not allowed to play on the playground or have student council or turn to face each other at lunch, and we also have to wear masks outside at PE and on track. I love my school and all, but my teachers seem really stressed, and that makes me feel bad. One teacher walks around with a clipboard full of referrals for any student whose mask isn't on properly. It makes me feel scared. That same teacher yells at us having our masks down to drink water while we are outside in car line. She told us we had to wait until we were in our parents' car to have a drink of water. She had her mask down the entire time while she was yelling at us, which makes me and all my friends very mad. This happens a lot. And it seems unfair teachers take their masks off while they yell at us kids and that we need to pull ours up. I asked my mom if there is a word for this, and she said there is. Hypocrisy. Wearing a mask all day makes me feel really tired and gives me really bad headaches. Sometimes I miss school and I need to lay low in the dark until they're gone. My mask also sticks to my face when it's really hot, and it makes it hard to breathe. I feel like I can't catch my breath, and that makes me feel claustrophobic and anxious. It's really stressful. I finished taking all of my FSAs, and I had a hard time focusing with a mask on. A few weeks ago, I ran into my teacher outside of school. She didn't even recognize me because she's never seen my face before. But I knew it was her because she sits at her desk a lot without a mask on. I know my teacher has asthma and everything, but I understand why it's hard for her to wear a mask. And I think she should have that choice. But I should too. I have allergies, and I feel really anxious with my face covered. But I'm not allowed a mask break like her. It seems unfair. All this seems unfair, and it doesn't make sense. I miss seeing people's face.
I like this kid.
That's a very eloquent 10-year-old.
What? Yeah.
A 10 years old, a fourth grader.
Yeah, I want to shake this kid's hand. That was impressive.
I mean, and the poor kid, you feel bad for the kid because he's actually, as far as we understand and what the kid was saying, they're actually punishing children for taking their mask off just to get something to drink.
Yeah. Jeez.
I mean, at some point you wonder, okay, when do you say enough is enough?
Yeah, exactly.
I totally agree.
And they had had a teacher walking around with a clipboard and giving out punishments to the kids who maybe they had their mask below the nose.
That's nuts, especially considering children are the least vulnerable, that age group.
Yeah, these poor kids. I mean, like, I said at the very beginning of this pandemic, do whatever you need to do to feel safe. But yeah, these poor kids, they're so uncomfortable. This kid, he said he's anxious all the time. He's 10 years old. He shouldn't have to worry about, oh, is my face mask on the entire time? He should be focused on making friends. He should be focused on learning social skills. He's clearly doing very well with his social skills, by the way, with his public speaking. But yeah, he shouldn't have to worry about this type of thing.
The little boy's name is John, and he's a fourth grader at Felix A. Williams Elementary School in Florence. And he pretty much destroyed the school board and called out their hypocrisy. And it was, I mean, the people were applauding in the audience.
I mean, that kid is a better public speaker than I will ever be, to be honest.
Well, I know the kid was on Fox News Channel yesterday with Tucker Carlson and with his father, with the parent, and did a terrific job. We need more of this happening, and this is honest to goodness what we. And here's what needs to happen: moms and dads need to tell the kids you're going to school, you're not wearing a face mask, and you're going to live your life. And if all the parents in the school do that, I mean, if everybody engages in civil disobedience together, they're not going to be able to stop us.
That's true.
So that is that is our rally cry here. What are you going to do? Are you going to take off the face mask, or are you going to submit to the jackboot of Anthony Fauci and the CDC? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstearns.com. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
So that little fourth grader, the poor kid, gets up there and gives an impassioned plea, and then the school board turns around and votes 4-1 to keep the mask mandatory. And the issue here is, should kids be forced to wear these face masks? They're the least likely to come down with the China virus. 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Meg in Chattanooga, listening to us on NougaRadio.com. Hi, Meg. I understand you are a teacher.
Yeah, hey, I am a teacher. I teach kindergarten.
All right, Meg, what do you think? Should the kids have to wear a face mask?
Absolutely not. They don't understand the concept of it at all. They're 5 years old. They eat it. They put it in their mouth. They wear it on their forehead. I mean, they don't. It doesn't help them, and it totally hinders their learning.
Now, Meg, I'm curious, what grade do you teach?
Kindergarten.
So you're a kindergarten teacher. Are you guys back in class now? Are you in school?
Yeah, we've been in school the whole year. We've had to do a little bit off and on just when cases have gotten high and stuff like that, but we've been in the school building for most of the year.
I see. So when you hear of other school districts that are out there, and a lot of school districts still are not back for in-person learning, they're still doing Zoom or online classes. When you look at that, what goes through your mind as an educator?
Yeah, I think doing classes online, especially for younger kids, is detrimental to their learning and their mental and social health. I think it's one thing to be in college and be doing Zoom classes, but to be in high school or younger, you need that social interaction. You need to be in school.
Are you seeing that? I mean, have you seen the after effects of kids being isolated and in quarantine for so long?
Absolutely. I work at a school where primarily most of the students are Hispanic, and so they don't speak English at home. And so not only are they not in school and they have mental and social health issues now, but they don't have that support of speaking English at home, which is, you know, already super hard to learn English at school and not speak it at home. And now they're trying to do Zoom at home. It's ridiculous.
Look, it's a fair point. And look, I'm glad that you guys are back. And let's hope other school districts around the country follow the lead of you guys there in Chattanooga. Meg, thanks for the call. Also in Chattanooga, let's go to Scott listening to us on our all-new KWAM app. Scott, what's on your mind today?
How you doing, Todd?
I'm good, thank you. Sir.
Hey, here we go. God bless that little boy from Florida. I tell you what, he stood up to those radical left. They just want that power. But what I called in about was Lori Lightfoot, you know, in Chicago there. They don't want to lift the mask. Mandates or nothing, because they want to keep that power and control. They know it's wrong, but they're not going to lift it.
Scott, no, they're not, and you're right. This is about control. And again, my concern in all of this is the message that we, the people, sent to the government. And what was that message? The message was, we are more than willing to surrender our freedoms. We are more than willing to surrender our civil liberties as long as we feel safe. If it's going to make us feel safer, we're going to surrender our civil liberties. We did this in the aftermath of 9/11. And Scott, thank you for the call. We did this in the aftermath of 9/11, which is why grandmothers are getting molested and manhandled in airports across the fruited plain. Now, I know Avery and Grace, you guys are sort of young. You're not going to remember this all the way back before 9/11.
No.
But there was a time when you could walk, even if you didn't have an airline ticket, you could walk to the gate with your loved one and give them a hug as they got on board.
I can't imagine that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's weird.
There was nobody there feeling up your private parts?
Well, you know, I've watched like sitcoms in the 90s like Friends.
Yeah.
And they'll go, I never thought about it before, they'll go to the airport, and they'll say goodbye to their friend, and, you know, I never thought about it before. You can't do that now.
Yeah, when I went to CPAC, I had to fly out to D.C., and my parents, they stopped at security. Like, I literally walked into the airport and took maybe about a 50-foot walk or something like that. And my parents had to say, you know, they were like, all right, well, we can't go any further, so we'll see you.
Yep. You know, I know this is shocking, but you could actually bring a bottle of water onto the airplane.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. I had my like, bath salts confiscated.
You want Aquanet? You can bring the big, huge, like, thing of Aquanet or, you know, big, sexy hair, which is what we used at Fox News.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The hairspray? Now, you got to buy travel size everything. I think it was just a marketing thing.
No, you could bring the full size of big, sexy hair. By the way, that when they use that on my hair at Fox News, I always got compliments when I was on television.
Maybe we need to get them some, Avery.
Get some big.
No, I'm getting you for your birthday.
Yeah, we should.
Birthday, I'm hard to buy for, I know. But big, sexy hair, I just might go for that.
There you go.
We try to look good for the Facebook Live audience.
Yeah, we got to keep you looking stiffy.
We try. It's a challenge. So all that to say, what were we talking about?
We were talking about airports.
Airports. So, again, we talk about giving up our freedom. And, folks, when you start giving up your freedom, it is a slippery slope. When we started giving up our freedom in the aftermath of 9/11, and we never got it back.
Mm-hmm.
Never got it back. And we're not. But we've got to fight here, folks. We got to draw a line in the sand with these folks like Mayor Lesbian Lightfoot out of Chicago. We've just got to do it. Oh, got to take a break. In the meantime, all you folks on KARN, download my app so you'll be able to hear my show next week. You can do that at kwamradio.com, kwamradio.com. That's kwamradio.com. You can download the app and listen to the Todd Starn Show all across America. We'll be right back, folks.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Extravaganza. What an honor to have you with us, the best radio audience in all of America. And, folks, we've got a great hour for you coming up a little bit later. Andrew Giuliani, the son of Rudy, now running for office in New York State. We're going to be talking with him a little bit later on. Also, just a few moments ago, President Biden at the Coast Guard Academy mocked the cadets, the graduating class at the Coast Guard Academy. Let's take a listen to what Biden had to say.
You're a really dull class. I mean, come on, man. Is the sun getting to you? I would think you'd have an opportunity when I say that about the Navy to clap. But being here,
big crowd there, but not a lot of laughter. And multiple times, Joe Biden told the crowd to applaud him as he spoke there at the commencement ceremonies just a little while ago. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. And just a reminder for all of our KARN listeners, be sure to download our free app so you'll be able to listen to our show beginning next week. You'll be able to do that by going to kwamradio.com. That's kwamradio.com. And that's really for all of our listening audience. We would love for you to download our free app so you can not only listen to my show, but we have so many other great conservative hosts who broadcast on our free app. I want to go right now, though, to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. And it's exciting to say that a group of Republican lawmakers are fighting back over these mask mandates. You know, we just heard the 10-year-old little boy down in Florida calling out his school board. Congressman Ralph Norman from the great state of South Carolina, one of several Republican lawmakers who have been fined by Nancy Pelosi. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Great to be with you, Todd.
Well, tell us what happened here, Congressman. We understand you got slapped with a $500 fine.
Yep, I got the notice today that we were in violation of House Res 38, that I was observed not wearing a mask on the floor. If I continue to violate it, it would be $500. Then the next violation is $2,500. And for any subsequent violation, which, you know, is insanity. It really is. It's just a group of us, Brian Mass, Beth Van Dyne, Mary Miller. Enough's enough. I mean, this Nancy Pelosi is a tyrant. And for her to have this fear factor of making us wear a mask, it's been a year and a half. And most of the congressmen, including me, have been vaccinated. And what's interesting, Todd, if you remember when she was in the salon getting her hair done, you know, months ago, guess who didn't have a mask on? Nancy Pelosi. When you have the head medical guru and Dr. Fauci saying that he wore it just for optics, a mask. It's hypocrisy at its worst. And, you know, she can't, I mean, she's going to, I guess, try to get this money, but and going to deduct it from my pay, which constitutionally she can't do. But this, she knows no bounds, and it's a fear factor combined with we still going through the magnometers, which searches us for guns, because I guess she thinks we're going to shoot the place up. It's insanity, and it's a heavy-handed system that she's imposing that makes zero sense.
You know, this is, I mean, I'm really surprised here. So you're telling me that Nancy Pelosi is going to attempt to garnish your wages if you don't fork over the $500 fine?
Correct. That's what she'll do. That's what she says she can do. Now, again, that's constitutional. There's no mention of being able to do this. And same thing with Andrew Clyde, who's not going through the body searches. That we eat every time we go to vote, we have to go through a body scan to see if we're carrying a gun, which I know of no member of Congress that's that does that or would even think about doing that.
And beyond that, Congressman, the only people who were armed on January the 6th were, in fact, the U.S. Capitol Police and other law enforcement who were there on Capitol Hill. So again, correct, to your point, I'm not quite sure why all the hullabaloo.
Well, it's a scare tactic. She wants to keep this going to defer and to divert attention from the crisis that this country is going through. You know, we got a crisis at the border. We've got gasoline crisis. We've got a number of children still out of school. And here she is doing this to us, and she doesn't abide by her own rules anyway. And I think it's just a diversion, and it's a scare tactic that she's going to continue as long. And enough of a growing number of us have just said, enough's enough. We're tired of it.
Good for you, Congressman. And I'm sure there are a lot of patriots out there who would be more than willing to pay that fine, but I don't think you ought to pay it. I don't think anybody ought to pay it. I don't think Nancy Pelosi needs to be making money off her tyranny of forcing you guys to wear these face masks.
Well, she has no right to. Now, she, you know, the Constitution has never gotten in her way at all. And you look at what they're doing on executive orders, the heavy-handedness that they're doing to pass legislation. They call it bipartisan. It's anything but bipartisan. And you know, the that's just how she operates, though, and she'll continue as long as we put up with it. And so I know that the minority leadership, Kevin McCarthy, is going to put up a privileged resolution to do away with the mask.
Good.
But I'm done with masks, and a number of us are. I'm tired of it.
Congressman, real quick, just a few moments ago, of course, the news coming out, RNC research, everybody sharing this soundbite of President Biden mocking, and I guess he was joking, but, I mean, it's still, this is a commencement address. And here you have him mocking the Coast Guard cadets as being dull. What's your reaction to that?
It's par for the course. It goes right along with the reporter that said, "Can I ask you a question about Israel?" And he said, "If you get in front of the car, let me run over you." I mean, what if President Trump had done that? It would have been news for weeks, if not longer. And, you know, I'm not sure he knows what he's saying. I mean, when has he had a press conference that he could put two sentences together? He hadn't. He's known the questions in advance, and it's the hardest question I heard him try to answer is, has his dog bitten anybody at the White House? I mean, he just is getting a pass on everything while the country's burning, while it's America's a ship without a rudder right now and no leader, and it's sad to say the least.
It is sad. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. We appreciate the bold stance you're taking there on Capitol Hill. I know many of your fellow countrymen feel the exact same way you do about these face burkas. That's what we call them, Congressman, face burkas.
Well, that's a good terminology. Roy.
All right. Congressman, God bless you, and thank you for coming on the program.
My pleasure. Thank you, Todd. See you.
Yeah, folks, if that was me, there's no way I would be forking over any money to Nancy Pelosi, and I would dare the woman to try and garnish my wages. I think the congressman is right. Nancy Pelosi is a tyrant. I want to go real quick to the phone lines here. 844-747-8868. Josh in Hot Springs, Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. Now, Josh, you have an interesting observation about these face masks.
Yes, I think it's indoctrination of the youth. I think it's taken the form of the face mask. I think their idea is to stop resistance at a young age. And their idea is you either submit to the left or you're miserable. I mean, they're basically going to, like, start them at a young age when they're in the fourth grade or the second grade or the third grade, and they're going to use the mask as long as they can to keep them silent, to make them sit down, to keep their mouth shut, and to listen to every left-wing idea they have to spell on them.
Look, there is, you know, Josh, to that point, there was a New York Times article. I'm pulling this up. It was yesterday, a few days ago. There are actually grown adults across this country who plan on wearing that face mask forever. They have no plans to ever get rid of the face mask.
Yeah, I see them all the time at work, and I'm like, it's over with. Like, take them off. Like, I'm walking around without a mask. Nobody's got the China virus. It's over. And they insist on wearing it like it's some kind of political statement.
You know what? It is a political statement, and it's incredibly – this is an incredibly dangerous path that the Democrats and the health department have put us on, because you're right. Now people are out there – and we saw this, Josh, when people finally said, you know what, I'm enough is enough. I'm not wearing the mask, and people are being publicly shamed. They're being targeted in stores and in public settings. But I can tell you here in our area, here in the Memphis area – I would say about 90% of the population not wearing the face mask, not anymore.
Oh yeah, down here too. It's the same way. I'm not speaking for the majority. I'm just saying that the ones that continue to wear the mask and give snide looks, I mean, they obviously are Biden supporters, which we have very few of them down here. So I'm not worried.
Yeah, no.
But,
I wouldn't.
But, I mean, you can definitely identify when they're riding around their cars by themselves with their mask on. You know where they stand.
Yeah. They typically have an Andrew Yang or Bernie Sanders bumper sticker on the back of the car.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Josh. God bless you. Be safe out there in Hot Springs. Beautiful area, by the way, folks. If you're looking for a great weekend getaway, Hot Springs cannot beat that. By the way, those of you watching us on our Facebook live stream, we have a new addition to the studio. We are proudly flying not only the American flag, but also the Israeli flag. And we are hosting a big event here in Memphis tomorrow at one of our local synagogues to stand with Israel. And we would love for you to be a part of that. If you go to our live show blog, we have all the info there. 6 o'clock tomorrow, that's Central Time, here in Memphis, Tennessee. Join us as we make a very public pronouncement of our support of the nation of Israel. All right, look, we're going to take a break. We're going right to the phone, so hang tight. Don't hang up. We have a line open at 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Now, you guys know I've been having some crazy issues with allergies. Moving back from New York City, where there are no trees, to Memphis, where there are not only trees, there's like honeysuckle and magnolia and poplar and oak trees and all sorts of green stuff. And that means big-time allergies, which I have a big problem with. And I know in the past you guys have heard me wheezing and maybe a little crackly in the throat. Not anymore. And we've got a great new sponsor, and I've got to tell you about this new air purifying system from Eden Pure. It's the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. So here's the deal. I try out every single product that we endorse. And if I don't endorse it, if it doesn't get my thumbs up, we don't endorse it. And it doesn't show up on this radio program. So I've been trying this thing out for the past couple of weeks, and it's been absolutely incredible. It's a really cool device. It's no bigger than, it's like a small, tiny modem or a hotspot, and you can actually plug it into your computer to power this air purification system, and it's incredibly effective. Since I've been using this, not a sneeze, not a cough. I haven't had that tickle in the throat. It's all gone. And I'm giving credit to the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier because without it, I would be sneezing out the wazoo. So here's what I want you to do. You got to check this thing out. So you don't have to worry about the watery eyes. You don't have to worry about the sneezing. Just go to EdenPureDeals.com. That's Eden, E-D-E-N, Pure, P-U-R-E, Deals.com. And use the promo code Todd. So the code word Todd, T-O-D-D. And they're going to hook you up with some great deals. And they're also going to throw in free shipping. And that's because they love our listeners and they appreciate conservatives. And we've got great conservative listeners. So again, EdenPureDeals.com. EdenPureDeals.com, code word Todd, and check out this this great system. All right, let's get to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Ernie in Morehead City, North Carolina. Beautiful town. Listening to us on The Talk Station. Hi, Ernie. What's going on?
Oh, it's a wonderful place. This is a wonderful place. What I want to do is give my observation of what's going on with face masks here, where I am. Number one, it appears to me that fearful old people are wearing masks, and they'll probably wear it until the day they die. That's my observation. And for true disclosure, I'm 75 years old. So when I say old people, I'm not being prejudicial. And number two, I see a lot of woke millennials who want to show their support for the dictatorial social agenda of Biden's people. Personally, I refuse to wear a Chinese face diaper anymore anywhere except for a medical appointment, and I can understand why that's important. Other than that, I'm done with masks.
Good for you, Ernie. And I think there are a lot more people that share your view, and I think you're right. I think we're talking about the woke crowd, and we're talking about the elderly who are just terrified because this is all they see on the evening news. I mean, this is unbelievable. Yeah. Ernie, going back to the early days of the pandemic when I was living in New York City, and my family would call, and they would say, Todd, you got to get out of New York City. It's like a death camp. But Ernie, the reality was that's what they were seeing on the evening news. But in truth, life was pretty normal in New York City. They had a couple of hospitals that were overwhelmed. But by and large, most hospitals had plenty of room, plenty of beds, and everybody was doing all right.
Todd, one more thing, if I can.
Sure, real quick, Ernie.
I have dear relatives in New Jersey who won't come and visit me because I won't wear a mask when I'm around them.
Is that right?
That is so sad because they wear a mask every day. They wear a mask wherever they go. I don't know if they wear them in the house when they're with each other, but this has gone to the point of absurdity.
So, Ernie, we're beyond absurd. God bless you, sir. Thanks for the call. You're a great American patriot. Mika Brzezinski, she's a Mrs. Joe Scarborough over on MSDNC, Morning Schmo. And Mika was talking about the face diapers earlier today. Cut number nine, please.
Many reasons.
I hear everything you're saying, and I do think, though, there needs to be some clarity that there are some pockets of the country that may not be ready. I'm here in Washington. In many ways, I'm here doing Know Your Value interviews, but I am working with a team here, and there is one person on the team who is not vaccinated. I'm wearing a mask around that person. You know, it is really, if you want to follow the science, then there are times you need to still wear the mask. And that's where I think it gets really confusing as we try and move forward as a country and put this pandemic behind us.
All I can tell you is this country is screwed. Just screwed. Unbelievable. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. Those of you watching us on the Facebook Live, check out our brand-new Israeli flag. We are honored to have that flag flying in our studios. Hey, ToddStearns.com, live show block, up and running. We'll be right back. Jeez-a-loo, McDonald's workers are out on strike today. So I think 16 cities, they're demanding $15 an hour. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be paying 10 bucks for a Big Mac. That's what's going to happen. And nobody's going to pay 10 bucks for a Big Mac. Well, maybe Bill Clinton. But, yeah, the rest of us probably not. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Busy news day. Just a few moments ago, we played the audio of Joe Biden. Yesterday, he jokingly threatened to run over a female reporter. Today, he jokingly mocked the Coast Guard cadets at their commencement exercises. What what a pitiful man. What a pitiful man. And as Congressman Ralph Norman said, he probably doesn't even understand what he's saying. And that's a good point. Well, I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. And we're very excited about an upcoming political battle that is going to be like a heavyweight fight. Yesterday, the son of former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani announced that he is officially running in the Republican primary to be the next governor. I mean, we could have a Giuliani versus Cuomo matchup for the governor's mansion. On the Newsmaker line, Andrew Giuliani. Andrew, good to have you with us today.
Todd, thank you so much for having me. You know, it's funny you mention that because when I first told the president that I was going to be running a couple of weeks ago, what he said, his initial reaction was, "Holy smokes, Giuliani Cuomo fight. I could build that fight. I could fill the garden with that fight." You know, he's going back to his old fight promoting days over here. And who knows branding better than Donald J. Trump?
You know, I mean, it really is going to be a fight for the ages. And Andrew, I'm curious, why do you think you're going to come out on top of this race?
Well, I think New Yorkers are sick and tired of seeing their state just continually go downhill. I mean, you think about the lack of leadership, not just over the last 14 months, which has been atrocious, but truly over the last 10 and a half years. You know, New York is actually losing population, not just losing congressional seats. Businesses are leaving in droves. There are less and less jobs and opportunities for New Yorkers. So New Yorkers then have to leave. I mean, there's been nothing better for Ron DeSantis than Andrew Cuomo in the governor's mansion in Albany and Bill de Blasio in Gracie Mansion in New York City to help. One of the things that I will do on day one, after we get done with a long, busy day that will focus on charter schools, it will focus on increasing our quality of life and decreasing our crime, and it will focus on lighting the furnace for economic development in New York again, is at the end of that night, I will give Mr. Ron DeSantis a call, the governor from Florida, and I will tell him, "Ron, I know you've had an easy go of it the last couple of years. I'm sorry to say you're a friend, but it's going to be a lot tougher with a Governor Giuliani in the governor's mansion."
And Andrew, I lived in New York City for 15 years working at Fox News Channel and moved down as the pandemic was really heating up there in New York City.
Right.
And I appreciate you pointing out a lot of real truths. And I know it's politically incorrect to say, but, you know, Andrew Cuomo did a terrible job handling the China virus crisis in New York City.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, he absolutely did. And the truth is, think about this, Todd. This is one thing that I like to point out because it really is true. When you think about the 15,000 senior citizens that died in New York nursing homes, I would say 9,000 of those seniors died because of Andrew Cuomo's ego. Let me quickly explain. If you remember, when that worst gubernatorial order in the history, not just of our state, but of our country, was signed, the Javits Center had empty beds, and the USS Comfort was coming up the East Coast right into the Hudson River to serve New Yorkers. Andrew Cuomo made sure that New Yorkers did not go on those beds because he did not want to give Donald Trump or anybody else a political win. That means that his ego got in the way of good public policy and cost 9,000 New Yorkers their lives. That's when he should have resigned. He's not going to resign because he's an egotistical you-know-what. So we're going to take him out on November 8th of 2022.
Andrew Giuliani on the Liberty University Newsmaker line today. Andrew, one of the things I appreciate is that you are a supporter of Donald Trump and you don't shy away from that.
Look, I think one of the things that Donald Trump taught me, and I think my father taught me too, this is certainly true of my father, is most importantly, you need to be genuine. You know, you are who you are. I worked for Donald Trump for 4 years. I've known President Trump for close to 25 years. We've been good friends. He's somebody I consider an uncle. I'm not going to shy away from that. That's who I am. You know, if I was going to be a typical, you know, sleazy politician, I'd tell you Donald Trump who, and I like the Buffalo Bills. Well, the truth is I'm a New York Giants season ticket holder. Yeah, we play in Jersey, but that's okay. I'm a New York football Giants season ticket holder. And I worked 4 years for Donald Trump, and I'm very, very proud of the policies that President Trump was able to put forth that I was able to play a small role.
You know, I got to tell you, Andrew, when I moved to New York City, I'm from the Deep South, and I never realized the intensity of the, you know, first day in the Fox newsroom, are you Yankees or Mets? Are you Jets or Giants? And I'm like, wait, what? What's going on here?
You know, You know, Todd, to that point, it's one of the things that's so great about sports, and sports in the Northeast, right, especially. I mean, it's true all across the country, but it's a great way to unify and bring people together. Yeah, you argue about the Mets or the Yankees, but you're not talking about politics. You're not talking about, you know, religion and kind of these deep issues. You're bonding through those conversations. It's one of the really sad things that's happened over the last couple of years in the politicization of sport. It's been terrible. What Major League Baseball has done, and the fact that they will not stand for voting, for integrity in voting, truly is really, really sad. We need to get back to a place where we can go to a ball game, spend nine innings, have people sitting together, whether you're Jewish or Gentile, whether you're black or white, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, and you're just rooting for the Yankees or you're rooting for the Mets, and have our differences be whether you wear orange or whether you wear pinstripes.
There you go. Real quick, Andrew, before we let you go, the Attorney General of New York coming after President Trump, the Trump Organization, saying she's launching now a criminal investigation. I mean, you know this with your dad, who's a great American patriot and, quite frankly, an American hero. They're trying to take these guys out.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely right. And look, the thing that's been so sad, and I certainly – I'm not defending Governor Cuomo. I think he certainly has what's coming to him. But the thing that's been sad about the Justice Department in general is how politicized it's become. And I would say corrupted it's become. You know, just going back to my father, because I know his case certainly pretty well, not as well as his lawyers, but certainly know it pretty well as a son. The fact that they started spying on my father literally the day, May 1st, 2018, that he signed up to be the president's lawyer, will tell you everything you need to know. If that is not Stalinist in its nature, then you're just not independent-minded and you're just not paying attention.
You're right. And at the same time, ignoring actual real criminal activity that, you know, that was committed by, for example, Hunter Biden.
Yeah. Or how about, you know, John Brennan lying to Congress? How about James Clapper lying to Congress? What happened with those guys, huh? Anything? Oh, that's right. They got a leftist media network contract.
Now, Andrew, real quick, we've got a link to your new YouTube channel, but I want to give you a chance to plug this. It's great stuff. Yeah. And tell us about the new YouTube channel.
Well, look, we've got a new YouTube channel. We're all over social media at Andrew H. Giuliani. You know, look, we are going to save New York, but I need all your help, whether or not you're one of the 19.5 million New Yorkers, whether you're somebody who's just left New York and want to see New York be great, whether you're somebody that just likes New York in the movies or want to come here. Please. Go to NY for Giuliani. That's NYFOR Giuliani, GIULIANI.com, and donate, volunteer your time, whatever you can do. This is going to be something that's going to take everybody. But I know if we all get together and we push in the right direction, then we are going to change New York on November 8th of 2022. And we are going to make New York that shining state on the hill again that I know that everybody believes that it should be.
Love it. Andrew, look, we're going to get you back on. We've got a lot of listeners in New York, and we wish you the very best. Let us know how we can be of help.
Todd, thank you so much for having me. I look forward to being on again soon, and you have a great day.
All right. Good man right there. And did you hear it? He's a fighter. Andrew Giuliani is a fighter. And, you know, he learned that from his dad, but he also learned it working for Donald John Trump. And we need Republicans like that. And we are a big tent party, and there are Republicans of all different shapes, sizes, and persuasions. And we've got to understand what the main thing is. The main thing is the United States Constitution, and we've got to protect that document with every fiber of our being. Now, you may disagree on policy. You may disagree on some ideas that are out there in the party, but we've got to all agree that the Constitution must be protected at all cost. And if we do not do that, if we do not unite around that idea, then we will lose. But I don't think we're going to lose. I think that this generation, Andrew is, what, 35, 36 years old? He's a young guy. He's a young conservative millennial. And I think there are more people like him out there that are planning to run for office. And we need that kind of fire. We need that kind of energy. Dare I say spunk? Yes, I said it. Spunk in the Republican Party.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, Grace Baker, I know you're all over this story, but Demi Lovato, what is she a famous singer? Is that the deal here?
You know, she's one of those Disney Channel stars from back in the day. So now she is she writes music now.
Well, what is back in the day? Is that like the Mickey Mouse Club with Annette Fuloncello and all those
not
guys?
Not quite that. More like in around 2010, when I was like a teenager.
A youngster.
All
right.
I watched her on Disney Channel, and then she just, you know, she left Disney Channel. She went crazy like they all do. And then she comes out with music now. Apparently she has a YouTube documentary about her life.
I see. So it was back in March, I believe, that Miss Lovato announced to the world that she was going to become a pansexual. And at first I was a little alarmed because I thought that she was doing something inappropriate with kitchenware.
Yeah, no, that's not what it means.
But apparently pansexual has nothing to do with skillets, cast iron, or otherwise.
I get it all confused, though, because there's asexual, pansexual, bisexual,
two-spirit.
Yeah.
There's like 70 or 80 different genders now.
It's very confusing.
So now she's back in the news. I mean, back in March, she said that she was proud that she's a member of the Alphabet Mafia.
Yep.
And that's what they call the LGBTQIA+ community now. Is that right?
Yeah, that
the
is.
Alphabet
that is
people.
Their name they have
All right,
adopted.
The Mafia, I see.
Because it's too much of a mouthful to say.
Oh, and everybody was so happy. Oh, good for you, Demi Lovato. Embrace your pansexuality.
Your truth. She keeps using that. I've noticed on her
Your truth.
Feed.
Yes,
your
my,
truth.
Yes, your
That's
truth.
Everywhere.
All right. So now, apparently, she's come out again. So she's no longer a pansexual. Is that right?
Yeah. So now she says she's non-binary.
So
basically, she doesn't identify as a man or a woman.
Are you sure?
Difference.
Because I was checking. We have a mechanical engineer, a mechanical engineer here at KWAM, our flagship radio station. And he's a big math nerd.
Yes.
And he told me that non-binary has to do with numerical notation.
Not in this case, Todd.
So no more. So it
no
has
more.
All right. So she said, I thought it meant that she could not add, she was not good at math.
No, though.
Or long form division.
I wouldn't be surprised if she isn't that great at math. She's definitely not good at, biology.
Clearly, she's clearly confused. I mean, at one point she was wanting to make out with a frying pan, and now she's. non-binary.
Yep. So I can't keep track. She likes every few months to get attention, she likes to do something like this to just try to stay in the spotlight because, honestly, I don't know anybody who really likes Demi Lovato at this point. I find her very annoying.
I got a text message from Uncle Jerry in Coldwater, Mississippi. He says, Todd, he says, wait a second, she's non-dairy. No,
non-dairy,
that's,
no, non-binary.
She's not lactose intolerant, Uncle Jerry. No. This is no.
This is an entirely different matter.
That's a whole other problem.
a completely different problem she's got.
So now she wants to, she's also announced her pronouns. That's like a big thing now.
That is the big, thing.
Do you do like a reveal, a pronoun reveal?
She did it on Twitter. I know, like a gender reveal party like they do when someone's pregnant.
Blow up a balloon.
You can't even do those anymore because you're predetermining the gender of the baby, apparently. So
you got to have like a rainbow-colored balloon.
Yeah, and say it's going to be whatever it wants to be. Well, Demi Lovato has decided she... It's going to be multiple people, and she's like, I'm going to be they, them.
They have a drug for that. So she's wait a second. So she's, you're being serious here. I know you are. I've seen the story.
Even about the gender reveal parties, there's seriously people that say you can't have those anymore. Yeah, I'm serious.
So now she wants to be referred to as they and them.
Yep.
As in they
multiple
is.
Multiple people.
They is binary. Or no, they is non-binary.
My thing is if I'm writing an article about her and I am, abiding by her rules, her truth.
Her truth, yes.
What do I do? Do I write, they announced on social media? Like, I can't say she announced on social media.
They is.
They
be. They be.
As a writer, this makes my head hurt because I'm like, that's not any kind of proper grammar.
It's grammatically incorrect.
It sounds dumb.
But it's politically correct.
Oh, of course. But it sounds dumb in any sense.
And why are we celebrating this? That's what I don't understand.
Why do we care?
Broader question is, why do we care? Why are we supposed to care?
Well, on Twitter, she got a lot of mixed reactions, and that's what a lot of people are saying. Why do we even care?
Oh, yeah. Is that what people... So people are pushing back.
Oh, there were people pushing back. Lots of people pushing back. It was like half and half. You know, the people like, oh, she's so brave. And there are the people that are like, why do I care what Demi Lovato identifies as at this point? Who cares?
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. So, well,
I don't care.
So, all right. So there you have it. Demi Lovato, the famous singer, now announcing to the world that she is no longer pansexual. So all you folks in the kitchen, okay, breathe easy now. But now she's non-binary. And, you know, maybe it's just me, but life was a lot easier when we all agreed that God was making little boy babies and little girl babies. And now it's a free-for-all. A free-for-all. All right, stick around. We've got to take a break here, folks. Another full hour coming your way. 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstarns.com. Check that out. Lots of great stuff for you there. We'll be right back.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. For you non-binary people, still, you can call in as well, I reckon. So, Grace, I just want to make sure I understand that I want to make sure, going back to the Demi Lovato story for just a moment here in the last segment. So Demi Lovato was a pansexual, but now she is a non-binary.
Yes.
And now we're being told that being pansexual is non-binary.
Like it's under the same umbrella.
It's under
apparently.
The umbrella, so it's an umbrella ideology or something?
Yeah.
I guess she's being more specific.
I think the bigger deal apparently was that she's now saying they and them are her preferred pronouns.
So the bigger story is she was doing a pronoun reveal.
Exactly.
Is what it was. All right. She is now they.
Yes.
And them.
She is they and them.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I think if you would talk to a psychologist, they would see that would be an issue.
Yes, I think so.
Because they implies multiple yous.
Yep. Exactly, mm-hmm. Todd.
All right. Well, put her on the prayer list, America.
Yep.
All right. There you go. All right. Anyway, big news coming out of Texas, the Lone Star State, home of Walker, Texas Ranger, Chuck Norris. Governor Greg Abbott signing into law just a little while ago an incredible piece of legislation called the so-called heartbeat ban abortion bill. It's banning most abortions at the onset of a fetal heartbeat. Well, here to help us understand what's going on, our good friend from Texas. He is known as America's Constitution Coach. ConstitutionCoach.com is his website. Rick Green. Hey, Rick, good to have you back with us.
Hey, Todd, great to be back with you. I just got to ask you right up front, man, who picks the music? You have the best lead-in music all the time. Is it you or Grace? Who gets credit?
No, well, you know, it's certainly not me, and it's not Grace, but it's Kyle, our board op and engineer. And
way to go, Kyle.
He's got some great musical talent, great skills.
Love it.
All right. This is pretty exciting news, Rick, coming out of Texas.
Yeah, this is fantastic. I want to congratulate him. First of all, on the House side, the leader on this was a freshman legislator, Shelby Slauson. That's a big deal for a freshman to get something this big passed. On the Senate side, my good friend Brian Hughes, we go way back to College Republicans and years and years and years ago. He has been one of the greatest pro-life champions in the nation and worked on he's passed other pro-life legislation in the past, but this is the biggie, man. This heartbeat bill is huge. So just big, you know, big shout out to both of them for doing incredible work, getting that through the legislature. People think Texas is super conservative, has a super conservative legislature. That is not true at all. We're the Democrats, even though we're in the majority with Republicans, the Democrats have a ton of power and tend to block these kind of things because we end up with a really moderate speaker that gives them the power with chairmanship. So it's complicated, but long story short, this is a big, big victory for Texas and the country.
And Rick, it's important for people to understand outside of Texas that in your state, the governor does really not have that much power. It really is the state legislature where the power center of the state is.
100%. If the governor decides to really get involved on a particular issue and just, you know, like George Bush, when he was governor, he would do that. He would pick just two or three issues and he would just hammer away and be able to really lead on those. Rick Perry was pretty good at that. Abbott's done that on some stuff in the past, but he really picks, you know, things like rural broadband and, you know, non-important in the big scheme of things issues. I'm hoping to see, honestly, next go around a governor that will really make the border the number one issue in Texas and do the state's job there, you know, since the feds aren't doing their job. And so, you know, but I will say Greg Abbott has been pro-life. Typically, if a piece of legislation like this gets through, he goes ahead and signs it. He's great at jumping in front of the parade. And that's fine. Hey, I'm glad to have him sign it, better than having a governor that would veto it.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Rick Green, America's Constitution coach. Rick, another big story we've been following. You have lawmakers now up on Capitol Hill that are facing $500 fines for refusing to wear their face diapers. We're also starting to see many cities and states that are controlled by Republicans saying, you know what, no more face masks. Is there anything in the Constitution that gives Joe Biden the right or the authority to demand that you wear a face mask?
None. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Even if the science was there, which it isn't, of course, but even if the science was there, no constitutional authority for him or anyone else in the federal government. And really important for people to recognize this. All this mantra about the CDC is going to give you your rights back. The CDC and the president are going to let you get together to celebrate our independence on July 4th. What a bunch of malarkey. The Declaration says we're endowed by our creator, not endowed by our CDC. And the idea that they can tell us that we have to wear masks or that we can't get together with our family is a total farce. But most people are believing it because, we, frankly, our civic ignorance. We don't know the proper role of government. And so that can be solved by civic literacy. But, man, we've got to do a better job of teaching people their rights and how to stand up for those rights. And thank goodness, again, you know, I was mentioning Shelby being a freshman legislator in Texas passing that heartbeat bill. Same thing. Look at all the freshmen that stood up on this mask thing. Madison Cawthorn, my friend Lauren Boebert, Marjorie Greene. I mean, I love seeing that. I mean, it goes against the grain. Typically, they tell you when you're a freshman, you know, when I was a freshman 20 years ago, you know, sit down and shut up and watch and learn. We've got some great people that have run for office that are stepping up to the plate. We need more of that, so I'm hoping for a really good election next year to get some more good, solid freshmen that are bold.
And Rick, well, look, we've got to have it, and that's the key here, boldness. We need people that are willing to take a stand and people who have learned the Trump doctrine of taking a stand and fighting back and delivering on your campaign promises. Rick, real quick, the other part of this is educating the American people. And sad to say, but a good many people have no idea what their constitutional rights are, which is why you are in the business you are in.
Yeah, you know, we got really passionate about this about 10 years ago. I saw a poll that said half of Texans, and we're supposed to be, like I said, more conservative, could not name a single freedom out of the First Amendment. 95% of Texans could not name two freedoms out of the First Amendment, and that's pretty well holds across the country. And, you know, of course, I got self-righteous and thought, that's terrible, you know, and then I tried to name the five freedoms in the First Amendment, and I couldn't. And so that woke me up to realize, I don't know this stuff either. I need to study these things. And so we started ConstitutionCoach.com. We started having classes all over the country. I have the honor of teaching the Constitution in Independence Hall, and so we take that and we provide it to people to use with their friends and family. And Todd, the good news is, man, those classes are exploding. I mean, they're skyrocketing across the country. People are hungry for truth, and they're hungry to know they're not alone as well, that there are other patriots out there and that there are solutions, that you can save the Constitution. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard work. It's going to be a generational fight, and it's got to be fought at the local level. Washington is not where the answers are going to come from. It's going to come from the local level and the state level. So everybody out there that's listening, you can do something about this. You can be a part of the solution. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter what you know about history or the Constitution. We're all sojourners together on this. We're all citizens, and we need to come together and work hard to save our country.
Good stuff. All right, folks, ConstitutionCoach.com. If you'd like to get more information on the terrific programs that Rick has, I have been through them, and it's an incredible weekend for the whole family. You're just going to have a great time. You're going to learn a lot and meet a lot of great folks from all over America at their big weekend events. Rick, we're gonna leave it there. Always good hearing from you.
Thanks, Todd. God bless you, man. Keep up the great work.
All right. There you go. Rick Green likes our bumper music. That's all. You put a smile on Kyle's face today. That's always a good thing. This story coming out of Los Angeles, and it's a little disturbing, but I want to share it with you. Police there are investigating an attack on Jewish diners in Los Angeles outside a Beverly Grove restaurant. It happened last night, and police are now investigating this as a possible Jewish hate crime. Eyewitnesses say that a mob of pro-Palestinians attacked a group of Jewish men as they were eating at a restaurant. There is cell phone video, and we're gonna post that on our live show blog. The men fought back, and I'm glad they did. According to CBS Los Angeles, a caravan waving the Palestinian flag, and by the way, that is a fictional country. There's no such place as Palestine. They were waving the flags, and then they started throwing bottles at the Jewish diners. And they captured it all on video. Several of the men were physically attacked, one of them in particular, when he tried to defend the group. They say that the Muslim haters used anti-Jewish profanity and pepper sprayed the diners. The police say there were no major injuries, and there were no immediate arrests, but the police are investigating. And this goes back to a caller we had on our program earlier this week. Bruce, I believe, is his name. And he was calling to let us know, Todd, I'm leaving. I'm getting out of America. I'm moving to Israel. He said it is not safe to be Jewish in America. And he's packing up and he's getting out of town. And then you have reports like this and you understand what he's talking about. The idea you have to have armed security outside your synagogue. It's just repulsive. And yet the mainstream media, they turn a blind eye to Hamas and the enablers of the terrorists. By the way, Black Lives Matter coming out today and announcing they are standing in solidarity with Hamas and the pro-Palestinian activists. Now, I'm not all that surprised because Black Lives Matter is a domestic terrorist organization. Todd, how can you say something like that? Aren't you afraid of getting blowback? How can you say something like that? Well, it's true. They're going around. They're burning down our cities. They're causing mayhem. They're marching into our neighborhoods. They're beating people up indiscriminately. They're pulling people out of their cars. This, in my estimation, is domestic terrorism. And if you disagree, I'd love to hear from you. But I'm not surprised that you have domestic terrorists endorsing and standing in solidarity with international terrorists. They're all very evil people, very bad people. But just so you know, Black Lives Matter, which is headquartered, by the way, in lovely Beverly Hills of the Topanga Canyon in a multi-million dollar mansion. You know, they're standing for the people out there. But the reality is these are all thugs. They're all street thugs. That's all. All right. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. Toll free number. ToddStarnes.com. The website. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
So there's a guy on Jeopardy, and I haven't watched Jeopardy since Alex Trebek passed away. Not a big fan of Anderson Cooper. And this guy, his name is Ryan Bilger. He took home, I think, $32,000, but he's had to apologize. So he apparently was a little too boisterous during his appearance on the Tournament of Champions. And I guess you have to be fairly well-behaved. It's kind of like the NPR of game shows, right? Jeopardy. You know, I mean, you got Wheel of Fortune, which is sort of like, you know, my jam, my family's jam. And then you've got, you know, Jeopardy, which is maybe for the more, you know, I don't know, intellectual crowd. I'm digging a hole. Yes, I'm aware of that, Grace. I'm trying to get out, but I can't. So anyway, Ryan Bilger appeared on the show Monday night, and many viewers were very upset. They took to social media, and they said he was very rude and boorish and that he should apologize. And so he did. He said, you know, social media is going to kill the country. I'm telling you, it's nuts. And I think the issue here is that we've always had people who are nuts. We've always had morons in America. We've always had ill-tempered and ill-mannered people in America. But they were not given a national, international platform to illustrate and demonstrate how big of a moron or how ill-tempered they were. And that's a big problem. So I don't know why the guy had to apologize. I mean, he was excited. And I know because on Jeopardy, you know, it's almost like going and watching golf. You know, you're not allowed to there. Well, now you are. But back in the day, you were not allowed to, like, you know, hoot and holler and cheer and carry on. You had the very polite, you know, had a very polite way. You know, it was a polite golf clap, you know, very like that, you know, and it was very hushed. And now let's go back to Augusta. You know, that's golf. And that's how it is on Jeopardy. I'd like to buy a vowel. No, that's the other one. Wheel of Fortune. I tell you, I'm not a big Jeopardy fan. So anyway, the poor guy has to apologize. Go figure. It is what it is. Oh, Kamala Harris. This is interesting. Kamala Harris has an enemies list. Now, if this had been Donald Trump, the media would have been all over this. I mean, they would have impeached him for a fourth time. So first for joking about running over a member of the White House press corps. But now, apparently, Kamala Harris has an enemies list. And Grace, I've got a job for you. I have a homework assignment for you.
Oh, boy.
We've got to figure out if we're on the list.
Oh. I wouldn't be surprised. Not going to lie.
We've got to be.
That's what I'm looking right now.
I mean, we've got to be. So if we can find out, I can hear you Googling away here.
Oh, yes.
Kamala Harris is said to keep a list of enemy journalists and other politicians who do not fully understand her.
They just don't understand me.
They don't understand her truth.
You know, there's also, by the way, speaking of that, there's also another story out there. And Grace, apparently, Kamala Harris is in trouble because she's not identifying as an Asian American enough. You know,
oh my goodness.
Because she's halfsies, right?
Yeah.
So she's like half African American, and then, you know, and then
she identifies
she's
how she wants to use it that particular day.
It's just like, okay, what ethnicity do I want to embrace today?
What will help me the most today in my public image?
Is she ethnic fluid? Is that
I think she is.
Is that the terminology?
I feel like it is.
There's got to be a term.
Oh,
you know, gender fluid.
If you can be gender fluid.
Yeah. And for many years, I thought that meant someone who, you know, needed Depends, you know, the little adult diapers. It happens, you know.
Accidents happen.
You get old, you know, the plumbing starts to, you know, it happens. And Avery's eating, so I don't think he's eating his lunch.
It's not very appetizing what you're talking about right now.
Clearly
he's trying
not.
To eat his lunch.
But anyway, I'm just trying. Well,
it is lunchtime.
Okay, but we have a national radio show to do here. And I think he's eating tacos.
Yep, they smell really good.
Mm-hmm. And yes, I know Avery is an Anglo. He's a gringo.
He's culturally appropriating
but,
right now.
But you know what? It's all right. We give him a pass. He can eat the tacos. So anyway, you got Kamala Harris here, and she's got this enemies list of all these journalists. And according to, this is all from the reporting of The Atlantic, so you know it's got to be true.
Oh, jeez. How many anonymous sources do they have this time?
They say Harris views reporters' attempts to question her as an act of impish aggression.
Of what?
You know, I can't wait. I can't wait, because we all know this is going to happen. When Joe Biden, they finally decide that Joe Biden really is senile, and they give him the heave-ho, and she becomes commander-at-in-chief. And she's going to be she will be the one who disbands the White House press corps.
Oh, yeah.
She will be the one.
Yep.
Donald Trump, he's like, hey, what you got? Come at me.
Come at me, bro.
Come at me, little Jimmy Acosta. Smack you down.
Him.
All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. I want one of those tacos. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know, Grace, I nearly forgot, Grace and Avery, I nearly forgot to announce the huge news from last night. After we did the big speech at the Young Republicans event, we all got together and Merlo came.
Yeah, of course.
Along with Mr. Grace.
Yes.
And we all got together, Caleb Park, our senior editor. And we all went, where did we go?
Brookhaven Grill.
The Brookhaven Grill.
And we didn't know this when we got there.
We were just going to go for dinner.
Yes, that was the plan. So,
and we were out on the patio, beautiful night in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah, it was really nice weather.
And it turned out to be trivia night.
Yes.
At the pub.
And it was awesome.
It was pretty awesome. So I didn't realize there's like a halftime.
I thought that we were done, and then they're like, here we go, the second half of trivia, the announcement.
Yeah, a little late. We were up a little late last night.
Yeah, we were doing really well the first half.
The first half, we were ranked fourth among the, I don't know, 8,000 people that were playing trivia.
Oh, yeah.
And then we, at the end of the day, we ended up bombing on basically world geography.
Yeah, that's never been my strong suit. I got lost walking my dog yesterday. So,
but I was impressed. Your husband was he was just right there.
Oh, yeah. He's very competitive.
He goes, and the category is the NBA. Steph Curry. I'm like, wait.
Before the question was even fully done, he had the answer.
But Avery did well. You did a good job.
I thought I did okay.
You did do well. You got that Shakespeare question.
I did get the Shakespeare question.
Should we tell them that I got the Playboy question.
Yeah, you did.
And I don't know how I did this, but the question was the first woman to grace the cover of Playboy.
And I don't think any of us were alive when that happened.
It was I wasn't alive either.
I know.
It was, but
you
it was
the closest,
it
though.
It was Marilyn Monroe. So.
I mean, in all fairness, that was the best guess. That was,
the most no-brainer guess.
Yeah, I didn't say this last night, but that was the first name that popped in my head.
So we were 10th place, which is not too bad. We
not
cracked the
shabby.
Top 10.
We got
top 10.
Out of 13 teams.
Still,
and we almost had like the bonus question right. That was what really messed us up.
We
almost had the bonus. It was a multi-part answer.
We put it all out there, all the chips on the table, and that turned out to be a bad move. We're going to do it again, though. Anyway, it was a fun extracurricular activity for the team. All right, let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Always good to have our good friend Mark Hancock from Trail Life USA, the chief executive officer, the head honcho. Mark, how's it going today?
It's going great, Todd. How are you doing?
You know, Mark, we could have used you on our trivia team because you know everything about everything.
Well, you know, when I heard there was a Shakespeare question, I was like, oh, man, I could have nailed that one.
Oh, that was epic. We killed the literature questions, but it was we had some pop culture issues. I got to be honest with you.
I'm with you.
Mark, very exciting to announce that you guys are having a big event coming up, Trail Life USA, celebrating with a National Backyard Concert and Camp Out event. What's going on?
Well, you know, last year at this time, we did a National Backyard Camp Out. We invited the whole country to join us. Of course, we're in the middle of COVID craziness. We invited the whole country to join us in their backyard camping out. Safest place to be is in the outdoors. And we had over 10,000 families register across the country and camped outside that night. And so this is the second annual, but we're calling it the National Backyard Concert and Camp Out. We've invited Four King and Country. It's doing a concert. And then also our good friend Dennis Rainey and Danny Huerta from Focus on the Family are bringing some messages, and then a couple other surprise guests too.
Now, tell us about the event. Where is this going to be a virtual event? Can people show up in person?
It's 100% virtual, and get information at traillifeusa.com under events. You can find out how to register it and be a part of it. You can watch it online. Also, CBN is carrying it on Friday night live. So there's a number of ways to tune in. We won't have people in person. It'll be totally virtual in order to allow families all over the country to participate together.
Mark Hancock from Trail Life USA. And Mark, I know that you guys have been around for a long time now and just have grown so tremendously. How many kids are involved in the Trail Life program around the country?
Yeah, well, we've been about 7 years now, and we've got over 850 churches that charter troops, and we have about 30,000 members, and we're in all 50 states.
That's just simply remarkable. And again, I think this big event you guys are doing, is there going to be a time when Trail Life can actually go and hang out outside? Because our understanding is, you know, kids, it's perfectly okay for them to go out and hang out outdoors and not have to wear the face mask. Are you guys getting to that point yet?
Oh, my gosh. Our troops never slowed down. I probably shouldn't say never. There were some churches that put restrictions and asked the troops not to meet. But because we're an outdoor organization, we're the safest place to be. So we actually saw growth last year. Both in the number of troops and the number of members in the program. And the last 4 months have been the largest growth that we've seen in our history, because people are coming out of this and they're saying, you know, I'm tired of being inside my house. Where can I go? And Trail Life USA, we've been saying for over a year now that we are open for adventure. And our troops have been in the outdoors doing their hiking and their camping and relatively active, you know, across the country. Like I said, the troops that stayed open, a lot of them doubled in size because there were so many options that were limited, and families were saying, hey, I need my son to be involved in something that's wholesome, that's good, that gets him outdoors, lets him enjoy being around his friends and being a good godly fellowship. And so they chose Trail Life because the soccer teams and the other opportunities weren't meeting. But Trail Life, we've been open for adventure the whole time.
And this is an important thing because so many moms and dads, they're not very happy with the direction that the Boy Scouts went in and abandoning their values. And they are looking for a faith-based scouting organization. And you guys are it. I mean, this is very impressive. The rapid growth and the great leadership you have and the commitment to the value system that you guys have in place at Trail Life USA.
Yeah, and that's we started out of some decisions that the Boy Scouts were making that we saw that families that had the type of traditional values that we hold weren't going to be able to continue with that organization. And we are Christ-centered, which is a big difference between us and other organizations. And we're also boy-focused, which is a big distinguishing factor for us, too. We believe that boys and girls are different. I know that's a radical thing to say these days, but we believe that boys and girls are different and that boys, just like girls, need programs that are aimed at their strengths and aimed at the things that were the places where they really grow. And so in our outdoor adventure program with male mentors, Christian men who are interested in raising up the next generation, it's a great place to put your son. We have a lot of boys without dads in the program. Of course, fatherlessness is at an all-time high in our culture today. And so single moms are loving Trail Life USA because they can put their son in a place where they know that he's surrounded by good and godly men. And because of that, we're just seeing lots of growth. We're seeing men join the program who don't have a son in the program, but they understand the power and what's behind, pouring into a young man's life and encouraging him in growth. And so we've got these great, passionate men who care about the next generation and care about sharing their Christian values and also enjoy being in the outdoors.
All right. The National Backyard Concert and Campout Event. Mark, where can folks go if they want to get more information?
They can go to traillifeusa.com, or they can also go to backyardcampout.fun. But traillifeusa.com is the best place to go. It's this Friday night, 9 o'clock Eastern time, and we're looking forward to seeing a lot of your listeners joining us.
Well, I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, Mark, also the author of a terrific book. You should check that out as well, Why Are We Sitting Here Until We Die? Well, that's a good question. Get that book wherever you have a favorite bookstore. Mark, always good hearing from you, and good luck Friday night.
Todd, thank you so much. I hope you get a chance to join us.
All right. Mark Hancock from Trail Life USA. You know, Grace Avery, I wonder if, You know, we ought to try to do that. And maybe, like, have s'mores.
Ooh.
I'd go for the s'mores.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Let's just make sure we do the s'mores far away from the station in case we set something on fire.
Yeah, that's probably a safe bet there. So, we can, like, start a fire from scratch and, like, tie knots and do all kinds of, you know, Trail Life USA stuff.
I'll let you and Avery do that, and I'll just sit there and watch.
I think, for the most part, I know how to start a fire.
Now I want to see.
I mean, it's not that hard. You just take some dry tinder.
It's not that hard.
Were you in Scouts?
I was not in Scouts, no.
But you know how to, but you've researched this.
No.
But you think you'll be able, I can imagine Avery back in the backyard, you know, just with two sticks, rubbing the sticks together.
Yeah.
That could work. I don't, let me rethink this.
Well, you may want to rethink your proposition there,
maybe,
Todd.
We should go back to trivia night.
Yeah, I think trivia is a safer bet.
Could be. All right, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Just a reminder, tomorrow, we would love to see you. If you are in the Mid-South, close to Memphis, Tennessee, we're having a Stand With Israel event. If you go to our live show blog over at toddstarnes.com, and we have all the information there. We would love to see you. It's going to be a wonderful, powerful night as we send a message to the rest of the country that we will never abandon an ally. We stand with the nation of Israel. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. And our website is toddstarnes.com. Also, just a reminder, to get your advanced copy of my brand-new book. It's coming out in June. And even though we don't like the New York Times, we love to be on their bestseller list only because it aggravates them. And we have a brand new book coming out. And Grace Avery, I just got the books, you know, just a couple of days ago, the advanced copies.
Yeah, they look awesome.
Really?
It's a cute little book.
It's a cute little book?
It's a little midget book. It's a small midget book.
You can't say that.
It's a little person book.
Okay.
And it's just very well done. Joseph Huntley, who does all of the design work for our website, our radio show, he actually designed this book cover.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
And it looks
good.
He's
awesome. He took our headshots the other day,
yes,
including my dog's headshots.
Wait, Merlo got a headshot?
Yeah.
You're really like, this dog is like becoming a celebrity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people recognize her out in public, not me.
Yeah, and head writer Caleb Park for the Todd Starnes Show got headshots with Merlot as well.
Oh, yeah. He wanted to get one with her.
So
He said it's going to go on his Instagram, so that's surely going to get her a few more followers on Merlot's Instagram.
Well, no doubt about it, because your dog, and tell us, the dog does have her own Instagram page.
Yes, it's at Merlot the Dow on Instagram.
Merlot the what?
The Dow. The Dalmatian.
Oh,
the
Dow. D-A-L.
D-A-L.
Oh,
and Merlo is M-E-R-L-O-T.
I see. Well, that makes sense. All right, Merlo, just like the wine.
Yes.
The beverage. Oh, very nice, very nice. All right, well, be sure to follow the adventures of Merlo, the dog there. Very good. So anyway, the book, by the way, coming out in June. We're going to be traveling all over America, coming to your town, mm-hmm. and we're going to be doing book signings, and it's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to be able to meet the team, and of course, we're doing a big book launch here in Memphis.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting time for sure.
You folks in Little Rock, we're coming to town. We're going to do a book signing there. You will need to follow us on our app, which you can download for free over at kwamradio.com. And we're going to give you more information about our big book signing and book event. Oh, by the way, one more thing before I do my by the way. if you want to pre-order the book, you can do that wherever you buy your book. So you've got a favorite bookstore and tell them, hey, I want to pre-order the new book from Todd Starnes. And it's called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. And many of the stories came from you, our great listeners, recipes as well. And all I can tell you is many of you love to cook with alcohol. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I was just going through some of the recipes.
Okay. Okay.
Now, here's my by the way, Grace. What do you say?
No, I'm just, but you know the the alcoholic part of it cooks out. Well, are you saying that it's like recipes and it says, while you're cooking, drink a glass of wine?
I think that's implied.
Oh, those so are, while you're cooking with it, you those, also are supposed to drink.
Yes, those are some from some of the Virginia crowd.
Mm. Oh, that explains it.
They have a good time cooking.
There you
that's
go.
That's all I'm going to say. We don't. And by the way, I have to give a shout out to the Liberty Bells Literary Society. They're in Northern Virginia. Some of the sweetest ladies on the planet, and they always have me over, and we do a big book reading together, and then they prepare me a home-cooked meal.
Oh.
And it's pretty darn good.
I'm sure it is. Mm.
This just in, this is my by-the-way part I was getting to.
Here we go.
Two by-the-ways later.
You know, we were talking about Demi Lovato.
Yes, we were.
Geez.
Well, it turns out there's a problem. There's a DJ in Boston, and he's in hot water. Because he was making fun of Demi Lovato.
Oh, bless.
Uh-oh, we're next.
Matt Siegel, the host of Maddie in the Morning on Boston's Kiss 108 FM, stormed off of his long-running morning show after being told to stop talking about Demi Lovato's announcement that she is non-binary.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, the news site I'm reading this from is Mediaite, and they actually use Demi Lovato's preferred pronoun.
What?
So
how?
They said that the guy was stormed off after he was told to stop talking about Demi Lovato's announcement that they are non-binary. So they are implies plural, which means Demi Lovato has got some stuff going on upstairs that's a hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying.
And so he was like, was he taken off air? Is that what stormed off
him? No, he took himself off air.
Oh, he did.
Because they wouldn't let him talk.
Siegel's been hosting his Boston radio show since 1981.
Oh, my gosh.
He's like 98. No, I don't know. He delivered an on-air rant suggesting he was quitting the program for good. He says, they pulled the plug on me. They said, you can't talk about what you're talking about.
And so he's just done?
The guy says, I like my boss personally. He's been very nice to me. It's not personal. It's professional.
Wow.
He said, if I'm left-wing and I go anti-Trump, I get in trouble. But today I was anti-wokeness, and I can't do that.
Hmm.
Poor guy.
So basically, what I'm told is that I can't talk about light, funny things and where the Jonas Brothers are going to be. Have any of them come out as fluid?
No.
Any of the Jonas Brothers?
They're all married to women.
Well, that's what I thought, but you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, things change.
They, them.
But the guy says, I can't do what I want to do, which is just be a funny comic who tells it like it is. You know, again, I feel bad for this guy, but it's true.
I do too, yeah.
Comedy's no fun anymore.
No, but we, on this radio station, the one that I own, we can still have fun.
Of course we can, yeah.
But we've already got an awesome morning show. So, Manny in the Morning, good luck to you.
Sorry.
Good luck to you. But look, if you can't, and we're really not making fun of Demi Lovato. We're just trying to understand Demi Lovato.
It's all very confusing.
It is. When you use a plural pronoun for a singular person, it's very confusing.
It is. And then what do you call somebody who actually has that problem? And they are, in fact, you know, schizophrenic. What do you, are they?
Todd, don't even try.
I know. Yes. I'm not. I'm just telling
you. The show's about over.
It's very difficult. That's all I'm saying.
I should have just given you a taco and we would have been fine, I think.
Yep. I would have liked a taco. I got to tell you, that was a mighty fine-looking taco.
I think, Avery ate them all.
I did. Yeah.
As I was talking here, it was very distracting.
That's terrible.
All right, we got to get out of here. Get out there. Have a great day, America. Be good.